B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Sup, Toucher and Rich. Sarge here. Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the broadcasters that told me I'd never amount to nothing. And all the headline guys in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Aha! It's all good, baby. Remember street team events at pubs and bars? Wallach never thought my voice would take me this far. I MC weddings and bar mitzvahs till my career pops. Sports on BZ takes on the hub so hot my mic drops. Hate the Sox worse than pinstripes. Hired LaBelle and Old Man Flavin instead of my golden pipes. Lowell Spinners, Brockton Rocks, I've announced them all. Hey, Johnny Wallach, how's D3 basketball? Zolak and Bertrand keep me pissy. Program directors used to diss me. Now they call my agent because they miss me. Condo and Waltham, endless white on white sneaks. Sold out seats to read at Sarge985's tweets. I always knew it would happen. This sex symbol stuff. I practice my Comcast stare down in the mirror, looking extra tough. Nobody's voice at the hub is in my neighborhood, but it's still all good. Ah, and if you don't know, now you know, Zo. Follow me on Twitter at Sarge985.
Oh, boy, my goodness. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studio. I can't figure out whether that is the worst 98-mile rap or one that is so bad it's fantastic. Like, there's, like, Wiggy's, which is one of my all-time favorites. The one, first up, is Toucher and Rich. Like, that one is, like, might be my favorite to listen to. I know it's technically not good. What the hell is Sarge doing there?
I thought that was actually pretty good.
Is he even, like, he's not even with the music or anything, and, like, these disses, like, Bob Lobel diss? What the hell was that?
Well, they got the Fenway PA job over him.
Like, we're supposed to know that?
Well, yeah.
These are the things he included here, like, huh?
Yeah. Sarge tends to, like, get in his own way when these things happen. Yeah.
Well, if you don't know, now you know, Rick.
I guess so. Like, I don't know what the hell's happening in half of that. And then he's like, hey, I do the Lowell Spinners. Nice job with your D3 basketball, Wallach. And I'm like, just, I don't quite know which one's better, to be quite honest.
It's as if, you know, Sarge is like, I'm going to say all this stuff. Just put whatever music you want behind it.
I mean, right.
I'm not rhyming. I'm not on the beat. I'm just going to say stuff, and then you just find some cool music.
I mean, it was really weird. And it was, and then he, like, I think he called himself a sex symbol, which I thought was awesome. Although apparently, according to you, Joe Murray, this dude's got no problem with the ladies. That's what you were saying.
He gets his fair share.
He does.
I don't want to know that.
From what I've heard.
I don't want to know that at all. Although I did run into Sarge at a miniature golf course one day. Did I ever tell you this story? I took my wife and my two kids. We went. There's a place called McGolf.
Dedham.
In Dedham.
Oh, sure.
I took my kids out there.
McGolf is legit.
It is. Yeah, I mean, a legit right. Driving range place. And a miniature golf course is nice right there next to it. And, you know, played in the kids, and we're all walking back to the car, and there's Sarge walking in with a woman. And I said, Mike, how are you? It's good to see you. Who's this? And he introduced her, and I forget her name. And she was really nice. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going
to. All right, give me a scale.
Got to play some
one to 10. What are we talking about? Like, what kind of number hangs out with Sarge?
Like, if we're going to use a golf bag driver, like what would.
What iron?
What iron is
the best and what iron is the worst? Well, I need to know the scale.
I guess the driver would be the best, right?
The driver would be the best?
With like a 3-wood?
She a sandwich?
I'm thinking, yeah, her name was Chip.
She was a ball retriever. She was the ball retriever.
Yeah.
Miss Putterface.
I'd say glasses on, it was a, you know, like a. A 5 or a 6 iron, glasses off. It was, we're tending toward 3-wood.
Okay.
Right. So Anyway, we're talking. He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take her ashore. A good time." Like, hey, have at this. Is now
the world is yours at McGolf.
This is like 1 p.m. on a Saturday.
Sure.
So he's taking you there, and it just he couldn't have been more like, "Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do this too." See, and I'm like, just turn it off. Just come on.
Have you been around him, Joe, when he turns the voice off?
Oh, you.
See, even you, because you like, you know, you guys hang out socially. And wow. As I said, I like Sarge.
Going out tonight, right?
We're going out tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you going?
Going out in the old studio over there, where we used to do the restaurant next door there.
You're not allowed to, or you don't want there to be a, you don't want to get like engulfed with fans and people throwing their panties.
I understand. Right. You don't want that. Right.
So I get that. Well, I love that place, by the way. All right. So is this like a boys' night?
It is. Yeah. Andy Wong's bachelor for the week. And we're all
going to the Stockyard.
Well, where else are we going to go?
Well, I can
see. I'm sure the guy doesn't want to be at his own restaurant.
Okay. You know, a lot of good restaurants downtown.
When you go out with Andy Wong, you told me the story about the first time you guys went to, I think it was, Mystique. Yeah, over at the Encore. And you said that you guys went, it was you, Jay Stu, Sarge, and Andy Wong. And Andy ordered one of everything on the menu, literally everything.
He asked us to order our own entrees, so we all did. So it was like, you know, one guy got beef, one guy got chicken. Like, one guy got pot, and then I got, like, you know, whatever. And then he goes, all right, let's get the duck while we're at it. And then we ate everything. And then we got more food. So he legitimately ordered everything. But it's more, I think, that it's like a customary thing for him that when he goes to a restaurant, he wants to try everything on the menu.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, is that at every place or just a place that he thinks is a competitor?
Oh, wow.
Like, when you guys go out, does he always have, like, a $400 food tab?
We do we go to some big night entertainment places before like Patriots games.
Sure.
And we're ordering almost.
So you go to the Scorpion Bar and how big is your bill?
$600.
Oh my God. And that's not even like, I mean, that's.
This is for like four of you?
No, there may be like six or eight of us.
Still, that's pretty.
The four of us though at Mystique, that was a big timer.
Oh, yeah. You order everything on the menu. It's a pretty big menu.
We were trying different drinks on the menu, too.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, we get the appetizers. We get our own entrees. We don't share them. Mm-hmm. But we share them. But you know what I mean? We all order what we want. And then we get dessert. And I don't know how we eat that. And then, like, the guys want to go out after that. And I'm like, dude, I can't move. Like, I have to unbutton my pants.
As opposed to normally.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Right.
When you're really a man full of motion normally.
All right. When the Kowloon crew goes out, now, is Jay Stu, like, because, I mean, obviously he's got a family and stuff now. Like, does he still join you guys?
He'll be out tonight.
The crew. Just like the Sands in Vegas in the 60s.
The crew rolling deep tonight.
Yeah, we're actually discussing WrestleMania.
Okay.
Plans are going to be made. Yeah.
So this is that's the whole purpose of this meeting. This is like a business meeting. You want to get all the ways and means and hows and whys of the big trip that happens next year, right?
This one's actually in Tampa Bay in a month.
Oh, okay.
So a month and a half.
Okay, this is to get all the plans down.
Yep.
The plans aren't usually just, Andy, show us where to go and pay for everything?
No. See, that's not how it is. People think that's how it is. It's not. We're all friends.
Well, you just said that he buys dinner for all you guys. Well,
let me tell you how this works,
it's more
Rich.
Of like when people know, when they walk in, oh, Andy walks here, then like we like can't have like a small bill. You know, that's the whole thing. We got to like represent.
So it's not even, it's against his will. Like he can't even control the amount of food they're bringing to him because it's Andy Wong. Like he walks, it's like, whoa. And it's like the king's in town, you know?
And I'm not speaking for Andy because he's one of my friends. But I think when he goes to an establishment, we want to have fun. We want to go ball out. We want to, you know?
And that means food.
When he walks in, does he like kick the jukebox and it starts playing?
Does he wear a leather jacket?
He's going to be there before us tonight, so I'm curious. He'll be there first, and then Jay Stu will meet him. Then
making it rain steak tips, baby, just everywhere.
So he walks in, and he goes, hey, suckers, check this out. He hits it. And you guys are dancing behind him like, dude, this and then there's women just fading. It's like, oh, my God, it's Andy Wong and the Kowloon crew. They clean out a spot, and the server's, like, snapping as he gives you your drinks and spinning around.
So Andy's, Mike Gorman's, like, an interesting man. Clearly, the guy's done so much. But Andy and his family, like, they're celebrating their 70th year of the Kowloon, and But the amount of people that have walked into that place, the stories that he has.
All joking aside, I mean, what they've done is ridiculous. And I think it's like the highest grossing restaurant, like that's not a chain in the country or something crazy like that. And I enjoy Kowloon. I do when I go there. But it's like one of these things where I can guarantee you just from the sheer – and like the way he like treats a lot of these people like really well and stuff and people want to – I can guarantee you he's got a few stories. Like who is the most impressive person in his Rolodex?
I don't know. I mean he's had like Jerry – he has a comedy club too. But like Jerry Seinfeld's been there. The guy who played Anthony Soprano's been in there. But the biggest stories are the Celtics in the 80s. Like they were rock stars. And Red Arbach.
At Kowloon?
Yeah, and Red Arbach.
See, I thought they were all Scotch and Sirloin. I thought that was their place.
Red Arbach was like there all the time. Yeah. And there was no smoking in the restaurant, but Red was like the only one who could smoke. He's got his own thing on the menu. He was there. All those
guys.
They
go to the Loon?
Yeah, even after we were talking about the 99 All-Star game. Not the 99, the Bruins All-Star game.
Yeah.
Everybody from the All-Star game went there after the game, and Bork came late. After his goal, like, that was the spot, man.
Okay, so
it still is the spot.
Okay, so that Scotch and Sirloin commercial is still one of my all-time favorites because you know they just said, hey, man, we've been giving you a ton of food. Can you just do one thing for us? Can we bring a camera in on one night and just for literally 2 minutes just film you guys saying a couple lines? And all those guys, other than, of course, Danny Ainge, are loaded.
That's right.
Like, loaded, and they're not even getting their lines right. Like, and the fact that they still have that sign up on the building, I hope they never remove it. Because to me, that's just one of those, like, it just makes me smile every time I go. It's like, all right, I remember what happened here. I remember how it gave us the best commercial of all time. Yeah. How half of them probably don't even remember filming that commercial. But, man, I didn't realize that the Kowloon.
But, whenever you walk into the Loon, you'll see all the pictures on the wall. Kind of like how Sarge was singing hanging pictures on my wall, or whatever he was saying in that song.
So when you guys go out afterwards, where do you guys head to?
It depends. We usually go to an establishment. We might close out the bar. Who knows?
Yeah, but when you say let's go out later on, what do you think?
We're big casino guys.
Oh, okay.
So we'll like eat and then we'll gamble.
Who gambles the most out of you guys?
Andy Wong.
Ooh, yeah. Really? He's got the fat stacks. Does he go to the upstairs?
No. Okay. So Andy's great because if he wins one hand, he doubles down the next hand every time. Every time. Like, it's just no question. Sarge is a very smart bettor when we play blackjack. Me, I'm the guy that's like, let's stay out, and then all hell breaks loose from there.
Look at Sarge. He's spending the Revolution paycheck.
Dude, I would love to play at a table with, like, all of us.
Oh, sure.
Just, like, one table, you know, five, six dudes.
Oh, I love it. Like, that'd be awesome. To me, blackjack's my game because that's one, and I don't even like high stakes blackjack. Like, I mean, I my favorite blackjack is $5 blackjack where I can get blind.
Yep.
Where I can sit there and just make, I can hit on 20 if I want to. And just by the end of the night, actually, you know what? I've gone to Vegas and you've got to old school Vegas. They've got $2 blackjack, which is just
Binions?
Awesome.
Is that where you wind up? You wind up
We're very close to Bunyan's Horseshoe. However, and it smells awful. Like you go in like the themes, it's like, hey, it's Hawaii night. And it just looks like someone, doesn't even look like Hawaii. Someone even put a palm tree in the corner. It's like, woo. But they're great. And like the good thing there is that, you know, the dealers aren't like that attractive. Like this is kind of like the people who used to work the strip, but then they've been moved to Bunyan's or the Krusty Nugget. But they're awesome. Like they'll count your cards for you.
So
like if you're blind, they'll be like, okay, that's an 18. Yeah. They'll make six cards. Like
that's the best when the dealer is like having fun with you guys. Yeah, they get tipped too. Like there's some rude dealers out there.
Oh,
and the pit bosses are the worst. Don't get me started on those guys. But the best I ever had the last time I went to Vegas, single deck blackjack.
Oh yeah.
If that's one of the most fun and most profitable games I've ever played.
If you sit at a table that's like $2 blackjack in Vegas, and the minute you sit down, you give them a $10 tip, oh my God. I mean, you might win 20, 30% more hands than you should just because you're sitting there getting blitzed, and they're walking you through. Basically, they're playing for you while you're getting loaded. So, all right. Well,
tonight's a big night.
The Kowloon crew goes rolling.
That's great.
That's right. So watch out if you're over in Brighton.
And then, by the way, he's back in here at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
I'll have an update on everything. Maybe we'll get some audio.
Now, I like that idea.
right. We'll see. We'll see what we can do. Right. I know the J Stude is not like being infiltrated with us. Maybe it's just because of Nick. If it's you, there's a weird. And I don't even think it's J Stude. I think it's more of a Sarge versus Nick thing. Is it J Stude or is it Sarge?
I think it's a J Stude.
It's both. Okay, both. I think neither of them like Nick for some reason because Nick is so unlikable.
I know. That's
if you've ever met
of
him,
all the people not to like, it's weird.
Ah, well. You don't cross the crew. All right, 617-779-0985. The Bruins do it again. We'll get to that and all the weird stuff that went on with the NFL yesterday.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Nine eight five, a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and that is one hell of a way to start a road trip.
Marchand feathers it in front. Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron froze Smith and then stuffed it home. Bruins 1, Oilers nothing.
Yeah, the Bruins out in Edmonton last night as the rest of the league is nipping at their heels. A dogfight for three periods with the Bruins able to kill off five of their six penalties. Good thing Patrice, as you heard right there, was able to bury his 27th goal of the year right there in the first. But the game had a stalemate, and to overtime they went.
Near circle, it's Nurse, left of the net. Had it punched behind the cage, and now the Bruins with a chance. Krejci, feathered ahead, Pastrnak, into the slot, walks in, back in, he scores! David Pastrnak slips a backhand five hole. That's number 43, and it's a game winner here in Edmonton. Bruins victorious in overtime, 2-1.
Oh, Krejci just won that battle, fed it to number 88. Pure pasta magic.
Thanks.
When you're watching David Pastrnak play right now, I don't think it's – does it occur to any of you guys that what we're seeing is just – special.
Yes.
Like, this is something that you, I mean, it's, and I know that we're used to him, obviously, scoring in ridiculous ways, but it's just the way that even Marchand has stepped up his game. I mean, some of the dishes he's had to Pasta as well, even what you heard right there was unbelievable by Krejci. He's making everyone else around him because everyone better on his line. But on top of that, David Pastrnak, when is the last time, okay, so he's already beat out, it's been since what year that a Bruin has scored this many goals? Wasn't it 90?
92. 92? It was Glenn Murray. He was the last guy to get this many. But the gold standard for Bruins fans up to the age of 40 or 45 is Cam Neely. Cam Neely's best season was 55 goals. Pastrnak's going to beat that. That's the thing you really need to notice. Pastrnak is on his way to having the best year for any Bruins player, goal-scoring-wise, since Phil Esposito.
Yeah.
Phil Esposito got 70 in two or three years in a row. But, yeah. I mean, in the early 70s, Phil Esposito was scoring 70 or 75 goals a season. Pastrnak is the next best guy to him. That's amazing. And if you, all those years that all Bruins, and if you've been a Bruins fan for longer than 10 years, you remember this. How come the Bruins can't get a sniper? How come the Bruins can't get a goal scorer?
Well, everyone thought Sagan was going to be that guy.
Yeah, but I mean, but even Sagan is can't hold a candle to this guy.
I think it's like 50 years. 40-plus years they haven't had a goal scorer like this.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch, and he's got a good head on his shoulders, too. He seems to stay pretty humble. Well, the Bruins, they win 2-1 in overtime over the Oilers. That's your fourth in a row. They've won 10 of their last 11, and even more important, they've extended their lead over Tampa Bay to 3 points. A little bit of breathing room there. On top of that, Tuukka Rask has been excellent. 28 saves, still has the league best save percentage, and Bruce Cassidy, for one, is definitely taking notice.
Yeah, he's really on right now. I mean, I'm sure like every other player, you know, he feels it at certain times of the year when everything's, he's seeing pucks and they're sticking to him, and, you know, he's under control, and other times it's a little more of a challenge, but right now he's one in one of those zones. We've seen a lot of it lately the last couple of years, so good for him.
We talked a little bit about this last week, Rich. Tuukka Rask is the favorite for the Vezina Trophy this year, considering the numbers he's putting up. And just to get back to Pastrnak, you saw two of the guys who should be two of the three finalists for the Hart Trophy last night in Pastrnak and Draisaitl from Edmonton, who has a huge lead in the points race and is still getting offensive chances, even though Connor McDavid is no longer playing.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid is hurt. He's one of the best 10 players in the world, too. Draisaitl has just exploded this year. And you saw, even though he didn't score, and the Bruins keeping him off the score sheet, by the way, is a remarkable feat because he's been on fire recently. But I still think at this moment, although things can change in the last 20, 25 games, David Pastrnak should be the favorite for the MVP of the league.
Well,
that's how good he's been.
I mean, everything seems to be falling in place. On top of that, pretty cool moment before the game started with our good friend Jake DeBrusque. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
So,
I did see this.
Covering the game for Sportsnet last night was Jake's father, of course, former NHLer Louis DeBrusque, and the father got to interview the son beforehand. And to be quite honest, it was all sorts of awesome.
Well, hey kiddo, it's nice to have you home for a couple of days. I mean, Edmonton kid growing up in this city, still special for you to come back home and play.
Yeah, it always is. It's nice to see the friends and family, and kind of get sick of my dad's hunting story, so that's why I think it's a little sketchy.
All right, you guys are on a roll right now, playing another team that's on a roll. What do you got to do to keep this thing going?
Yeah, just got to stay consistent, and you know, we've been rolling four lines pretty well, and just play our game. I think we're trying to build our game every game throughout this year, so just keep doing what we're doing and try to limit their offensive chances.
What's this? I heard you were chirping me about my hair today.
You got tough flow, I'm not going to lie. People are saying that you're copying my hair, so yeah, that's pretty much what that's about.
Well, listen, kiddo, get the feet going. I don't want to have to say bad things about you tonight. Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck, all right, kiddo?
Thanks, Dad.
All right.
Oh, you didn't hear the very end? Thanks, Dad. Love you, Dad, as he skates away.
Mm. That's to kind of gloss over what he said about him on national television.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to play that for Dan Roach, and he's going to cry. That was an interesting moment. By the way, Jake DeBrusque, a lot of people criticizing the size of his legs. I tweeted out a photo of him doing a awesome, once again, Jake DeBrusque does a lot of great stuff. And so I retweet this thing he did where he was helping out Make-A-Wish. And it's funny, it wasn't the reaction that I thought. It wasn't, hey, that's awesome, Jake DeBrusque is great. It was, dude, look at how small his legs are. And I'm like, all right, man, well, they're obviously working good enough to have him play the way he's been playing. Well, just another late one tomorrow night as the Bruins head to Calgary. The puck drops at 9 p.m., and you can hear it right here on 98.5 Sports Hub. And we did talk to Billy Jaffe yesterday about this team, whether or not they're going to make a move. I mean, only a couple more days left. Monday is the deadline. And did he commit to say that right now he believes Tampa Bay is a better team? Did he commit to that?
No, he kind of...
Because Billy doesn't really commit to anything.
It's true. But they're better at some things, and Bruins are better at other things.
That's such a Billy Jaffe answer.
That's what he said.
I think Tampa Bay is more talented. They haven't lived up to the expectations.
Yeah, no, they have more star power. They have the same roster back as the team that had the best record far and away in the NHL last year. But which team is playing better?
Well, actually, I don't know. Probably Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Right?
It's close.
Yeah, I mean, I would
close,
say probably Tampa Bay.
But the Bruins are right there. That's my point. There is a talent discrepancy. Tampa Bay has stockpiled a lot. I mean, Vasilevsky's a Vezina threat every year. So, I mean, if you look up and down the rosters, Tampa Bay probably has more depth of talent. Mm-hmm. But the way they're playing is even.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that it's imperative that the Bruins make a move because maybe Tampa Bay has, Pittsburgh has? Or is it kind of like the Bruins, not to cross sports, but like the Celtics? Celtics didn't want to make a move to, you know, for team chemistry. If they did make a move, would it hurt the team chemistry?
Oh, no. Nothing's going to shake up the chemistry of the guys that they've got. I mean, unless they get an absolute turd in here, but the names that they're throwing out there don't seem to be that kind of player.
What I'm saying, is it worth giving up the prospects, working the cap, when they already have a good thing going?
Dude, they need a second-line wing. They need one bad, and they've needed it for a long time.
In a playoff series, if you run into a team that has a shutdown defensive pair, and Tampa Bay has that in them, you take away that top line. You can't take them away. But if you limit their effectiveness over a 7-game series.
Dude, we saw
the Bruins are screwed.
We've seen that with the Bruins before.
Yeah, I think last year it was more about they were injured. Like they played.
Well, they also got out-muscled. I mean, that's the other thing, is that team that they lost to in the final, they reminded me a lot of the 2000, the old Bruins, yeah, who won the Cup. Like, I mean, they bullied the Bruins around for several games.
You need an extra scorer. You do. And that's the problem. The prices are so damn high, and that's something we talked about with Jaffe yesterday. I mean, you got to get to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm not giving up a first-round pick and my best forward prospect and another player. And I think that's the thing that Sweeney weighs every year, but the window is beginning to close on the core of this team.
Yep.
There also comes a time where you have to go, you know what? We're going for it. I think Bruins fans would respect the hell out of that.
All right, the NFL is completely changing the game next year, it looks like. All it needs to be is voted on, but it sounds like it's going to happen. The playoffs are going to look totally different. We will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Let's do something crazy. Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Everybody's tinkering. Every league is tinkering. Sometimes it works, sometimes it does not. You saw with the NBA, the All-Star Game, they changed the format of that, and apparently everybody loved it. As I said the other day, I didn't watch it because it's the All-Star Game, but now that I know that it's entertaining, maybe I'll watch it next year. However, the NFL, this is something that has been rumored to happen for a while now. So apparently all the owners got together in this crazy meeting, and under the current CBA proposal that's out there right now that they just have to get passed, the owners are pushing for a brand new playoff structure. That's right. They're going to completely change the way that the playoffs are happening in the NFL, which, by the way, I like as is. I didn't realize that was one of the things that needed to be improved. But their proposal would be that the playoff field would be expanded to 7 teams from each conference, while the regular season would be increased to 17 games per team and the preseason shortened to 3 games per team. So as part of the proposed playoff format, only one team from each conference would receive a first-round bye. That would mean that the Ravens would have been the only team that would have gotten a bye this past year, and the Chiefs would have had to have played the Steelers, I guess,
because
they
would have been. So Steelers at 8-8 would have gotten in.
Okay, so one team from each conference gets a first round bye, as opposed to the two that currently do. That would mean a revised postseason schedule that includes 6 games on Wild Card Sunday, with 3 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday. Now they're saying that the NFL playoffs form, the one that's being proposed right now, the playoff format, could take effect for next season. This is something they want to get past right away. Now, as far as the 17 games, that's something that they're still going to be working on. But as you were mentioning, John, had the proposed format been in place this season, the Rams would have made it and the Steelers would have made it. And on top of that, what the league is agreeing to, if all of these changes, if the Players Association says yes to it, is a pretty decent amount of money going their way. As a matter of fact, there's a 47% revenue share. That means it's going to get bumped up to 48.5 if they go 17 games. That's $5 billion worth of revenue that's going to go to the player side. And to be quite honest, I haven't seen a ton of backlash from players yesterday when I saw this.
I find that very odd, all things considered. You know, players are talking about player safety and how Roger Goodell is basically the devil for forcing them to work extra games. And you know what? All the NFL did, and good for the NFL because they knew this was going to work, you wave a big check in front of the players, and they were like, you know what?
Maybe it won't hurt that much. Like maybe that extra game isn't that bad.
Percentage increase, 1.2% increase?
1.5. If you go to 17 games, they agree to the extra game as well. Okay. I saw Scott Zolak bitching on Twitter about it. He might be the only person other than Peter Gammons who does not have spell check on his phone. he spells everything wrong. And how he does that, I have no idea. I don't know what kind of phone from 15 years ago he's using. But in my opinion, less football that means nothing and more football that means something is A-okay with me. Like, you take away one of those preseason games, great. That's already a win. It was already four games was already too much. And if you add one extra game in the regular season, you didn't really need that. I do not mind only having one bye when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I don't like.
You see, to me, I mean, you want to talk about everyone truly playing their ass off to the very, very end. That's huge. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year, and they got a bye as the second seed. So they'd only, they wouldn't have got that this year. The top seed in each conference will get a bye.
And the other thing, too, is that they said that the players are happy about is I didn't realize this, that if you were a team that got a bye, you know how if you play in the postseason, these players get extra money because they're playing extra games. I didn't realize that if you got a bye, you almost got punished because you didn't get paid for that week because you didn't actually play a game. So whereas all these other guys, I know that they played, but they got like extra money. None of that happened to the team that got a bye. You would think that they deserved that because they played hard enough during the regular season.
No, there's not going to be an extra bye week for the 17-game schedule. But the NFL, and we've seen it happen, they want to extend the season. They want to get football further into the winter. President's Day apparently is the target now.
That part of it sucks.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
it's already the season's so long.
I've had enough of it. I mean, I want to miss football a little bit so that when it comes around again in July and August and there's training camp, I want to be psyched about it. I don't want football to continually to extend further into the off season, and I don't like that at all. And the other thing is, football fans got to be ready for some mediocre-ass teams to make the playoffs. It said that's an 8-8 Pittsburgh's team got in, and they were playing well at the end. But still, I mean, did they really deserve a playoff spot?
And somehow the Cowboys weren't going to fit. That makes me laugh.
They didn't make it.
There are going to be seasons. Like, I looked it up, 2013. There wouldn't have been, under this current format that's being proposed, in 2013, there wouldn't have been just one 8-8 team in. There would have been two 8-8 teams in the AFC and one in the NFC. Three 8-8 teams in because of the third wild card. I mean, there are going to be seasons like that. So as much as everyone thinks this is awesome, there are going to be 500 teams routinely making it into the playoffs.
There's not a lot of people who think this is awesome. Matter of fact, the Twitter reaction was like, don't change it. Why do you change it?
My opinion is, you
added an extra two extra games that mean something. And I know these are teams that aren't very good, but I don't care. It's a playoff game. It's fun to watch.
And you know what?
And you took away a preseason game, which I think that's something that needed to happen a long time ago. I don't have a problem with it. I don't think there's any reason to bitch about more playoff football.
Okay, that's fine, but I don't want to hear word one from Richard Sherman and the Players Association about how this sucks and how players.
Well, Richard Sherman's already pretty much spoken out about it. Jamal Adams who came out and said that this is amazing. We're gonna get more money, and then I think Richard Sherman tweeted him and said, "Hey man, give me a call." In other words, like, this is not everything that you think it's going to be.
If the Players Association signs off on this, and all indications are that they're going to, I don't want to hear any more complaints about this.
Why does this piss people off?
No, you agreed to this.
Why mess up a good thing? That's my whole thing. Why mess up a good thing?
Well, okay, because preseason is not a good thing.
Yeah, but remove the game then and keep it 16 games.
Well, that is part of the...
Like, are they going to add more roster players? Are they going to be, only 46 active guys or whatever it is?
Well, that's a good question, and that's something that probably needs to be discussed.
You probably need more than a 53-man roster at this point.
Yep, and I think that that's a fair thing for the Players Association to ask for.
You probably need a third quarterback, emergency quarterback to have or something
I don't know why there is such an uproar about this.
The safety is not being considered whatsoever. That's what the whole thing would... Anything you've heard from the commissioner for the last 5 years, this does not help safety of the game. Well, and I'm not a... Listen, I'm not one of those guys. Maybe Ted Johns will be here later, but I'm curious how he'll feel about it. This does not help the safety of the game.
All the players were bitching and moaning about over the last 2 or 3 years about how Goodell didn't take their safety into account. If you agree to this, there's no more bitching and moaning at the commissioner.
Most of them aren't bitching now. And that's the thing, is that if all of them were bitching, I'd be like, okay, listen to the players. They're going out there. They're the ones beating the hell out of each other, but they're not bitching right now. They're all like, hey, man, more money. And I'm not going to sit here and stand up and say, I know better than these guys who are actually playing the game. And I mean, listen, they may be short, they might be short thinking right now and only thinking about the immediate future and not thinking about what their life's going to be like down the road. But as of right now, I expected to see an uproar and I did not. Like, this is a significant amount of money that these guys are going to be getting.
Let me ask you this, right? Towards the end of the season for the Patriots, remember that Miami game that they lost?
Mm-hmm.
That game wouldn't have meant nothing. Baltimore would already have clinched the AFC. And the Chiefs and Patriots would have nothing to play for.
Well, there's going to be situations where that's the case, but there's also going to be situations where they're going to be a dogfight until the very end. I mean, dude, that bye, only one team gets a bye? That's huge.
Yeah, but what happens if you're the 15-1 or whatever, you know, Ravens?
Okay.
Well, clinched it in 3 weeks ago.
But that's not always going to happen. The chances of it being a dogfight to the very end are way more than having a situation like that. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that, you know, I like the two bye teams. I do like.
And then in this situation, you're going to have 2-7-8 teams playing for a playoff spot in week 17.
Playoff football, baby.
Ugh. Jesus. I mean, who would have been 7-8, and all you need is a win.
Duck, or what's his name?
Duck Dodgers.
Duck Dodgers.
Yeah, him.
Which sounds like
or
a cartoon
Mason
character.
Rudolph?
It is a cartoon character.
Duck Dodgers, isn't that like the
Donald? That's Daffy Duck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that's his actual name? I know it's Duck something.
No, it's,
I don't know. I made
the guy who's not the alleged racist.
Duck Dodgers.
The guy that Myles Garrett isn't calling a racist. That's right. It's the other one. All right. 617-779.
Jared Goff would earn that country.
Yeah, I know. We'll take your calls on it. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It is Tucker and Rich. By the way, at 8 o'clock this morning, a special twist on Brookline 911. We haven't done these in about a month.
Looking forward to this.
It's been a while. We can insert the sheriff now. A special twist on Brookline 911 at 8 o'clock. So be sure to be here for that. We were just talking about the new proposed playoff format that looks like is more than likely going to happen next year. And that is that the playoffs will have, instead of the typical six teams make it from each division, you're going to have, or each conference rather, you're going to have seven teams. There's only going to be one team that gets the bye. And it will also be a 17-game season in which they will take away one preseason game. And let's go to Martin on line four. Martin wants to yell at John Wallach. Martin, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, so I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to yell at Wallach because he might be overwhelmed by being in Fred's chair. But if they do a 17-game season, there's not going to be a 500 teams making it to the playoffs.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, Wallach, come on.
You know exactly what I meant. A mediocre team's going to get in. Give me a break.
I'm telling you, John.
I'm just kidding with you, but listen.
Oh, my God. Really? That's why you called?
Hey, how does 7-10 sound?
What I'm telling you is, like, I think the NFL is doing this to put pressure on the player association, because if bad teams make it, if 500 team makes it, and people keep complaining about those teams making it, that's some leverage to go to the players association and say, listen, we need a 17-game season.
Hey, Martin, the reason that they're doing it is to make more money on more games. I think that there's no question there. Right, but thank you, Martin.
All right, so 2-7-9 teams meet to get in that last. I finished 8-9.
You're the guy with the glasses. You should have gotten that right.
Ask, of course.
I'll just say, as a season ticket holder, I have to pay for the preseason game the same cost as the regular game.
Yeah, absolutely. So why not have a regular season game? Dude, I'm telling you, this is something that immediately, and I saw everyone crapping on it except for the players. And my whole thing is that you got rid of a game that didn't matter and added a ton of games that did matter. Two playoff games, because now you're going to have, is it two? But yeah, three on Saturday, three on Sunday of wild card weekend. Yeah, so you're adding two playoff games.
Playing on wild card weekend.
Right.
It'd be great.
So you're adding two playoff games there.
Which, settle it at one, you have a 1-4 and an 8, or a 1-4, 30 and an 8.
Two versus.
Sure.
Okay.
Two versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5.
So awesome. Great. And as far as the 17th game of the season, you know, my initial reaction is, well, the players are going to hate this, because if you really are talking about player safety and adding an extra regular season game, you know, that kind of sucks for them. But I'm not going to tell all these players who seem to think it's worth the money that they're going to be getting from this new CBA. I'm not going to tell them that they're wrong. They're the ones that are going to be playing for that cash. They obviously think it's worth it. So, I mean, the only one I really saw speak out yesterday was Richard Sherman, but he speaks out on everything. And I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I'm just saying that if the players are cool with it, as a fan, how can you not want this? Now, the one thing that I did find interesting was that somebody, and this is something I've heard is kind of what they were trying to do. Somebody said that the reason that they're one of the reasons they want to do this is because they want to end it on President's Day weekend, which means you have the Monday after the Super Bowl off. That's way too long. I hope it doesn't get extended.
Well, that's
that
long. How long it would be.
I know. It would end up being that long.
I mean, you're going Labor Day to President's Day.
I mean, that part kind of sucks.
That's crazy.
All right, let's go to Danny. Danny on line two. Danny, what's up, man?
You're hey, guys. Rich, I agree with you, but I think you're looking at this from the wrong angle. The NFL is all about parity. They want, you know, all these different teams winning the Super Bowl to have a shot. So I think the bigger thing that they're trying to get accomplished is getting rid of that bye week for the two seed. It's like 90% of the teams that have been in the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl have been, I think, for the last 10 years, the one or the two.
One or two, yep.
You eliminate that bye week for the two seed. I mean, look, the Ravens went down just like that. I think we're all convinced the Chiefs wouldn't have been able to put it together for that long if they had to play immediately, since they started slow. And if this gives a chance, like a team like the Cowboys or, you know, eventually one of these New York teams to make the playoffs as the seventh seed, I mean, this just looks like a huge W for the NFL from the money standpoint. And also maybe you get some of these random teams a chance to get hot during the playoffs and win as the seventh.
No question. And I think, and as I said, anything that keeps the end of the season more competitive, and you were talking about the AFC, how it didn't matter because Baltimore had it locked up. But one of our listeners, you know, pointed out, he said that it might not have mattered in the AFC, but look at how close it came for the one seed in the NFC. Yep. I mean, he said that San Francisco had to hold Seattle to half a foot from the end zone to clinch the first seed. And he's absolutely right. So think about that. I mean, anything that keeps those games competitive at the end of the year, more competitive, I'm all for. And on top of that, it's more football. That matters. It's more playoff games. And for you, it means more bets.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. Maybe
there it is.
Maybe the Saints wouldn't have been knocked out in the first round. They would have beaten the Rams.
As I said, I don't know why people are complaining about more meaningful football and less football that doesn't mean anything.
I just think anyone that's preaching safety, you just lose all credibility.
Agreed. But that's true. Now I'm with you on that. And as I said, if the players were sitting out here and they were screaming from the rafters, what are you doing? We don't need this extra game. Then I would be like, listen to the players. They're the ones who are wrecking their bodies every week. But you're not hearing that as much as I thought it would.
I know. And the silence is
it's
great.
It's because they're getting a decent amount. $5 billion is going from the players' pockets from the owners' pockets to be spent on the players.
And the owners know $5 billion is a drop in the bucket for them. It's a small concession to get what they really want.
And you know what this also is? I guarantee you this is another step towards having London have an NFL team, because the reason is that can be looked at as your, you know, you got 8 home games, 8 away games, and everyone's got to go over to London.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that would be the, because I mean, there would be obviously an imbalance between home and away games.
Well, no, the NFL owners got what they wanted. They've been after this extra game for years, 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, that's when we first started hearing about it. The next real revenue generator is to get you a new NFL franchise, get a new franchise. Expansion is a possibility, but to get the NFL team in London, the next one.
My math still doesn't make sense. I would have to figure that out. But that extra game, I guarantee you, that would mean a lot of games in London. But I mean, it wouldn't mean everyone would play there. I don't know how they would do it, to be quite honest. That part's interesting to me. And you know what? Shake it up. Make it a little bit different. I don't care. It doesn't ruin the product. It just gives us more of what we want and less of what we don't. So I'm okay with that. I don't like the fact that it goes halfway through February, because by that point, I think we're done with football. I'm like you, Wallach. I want to miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? It does give everyone a day to, you know, get your hangover on Monday, the President's Day, so you can just, you don't have to roll on into work after the Super Bowl. That does make it for a little more interesting of a Super Bowl Sunday. All right, 617-779-0985. The Bankroll Boys. We've already got Joe Murray here in studio. Mr. Lifshatz standing in the other room. Look at all Matt Patricia like. He's going to come on here and he's going to help us pick some winners.
Get that big boxing match this weekend.
That's
dude.
Right. We got to get to that as well. So we will get to that. No commercials, just Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.